We're joined on the other line by Ken McGuinness, a former Ulster Unionist MP for Manna South Tyrone, now a House of Lords peer, and of course a key figure in the early stages of the peace process. Ken McGuinness, what was your reaction when you heard what it was that Albert Reynolds was trying to do in kick-starting a peace process?
As far as Albert was concerned, let me say first of all, he was always a pleasant man to deal with. He hadn't that desire to ram something down one's throat that he knew wasn't acceptable. So that, to some extent, he working together, I think at that time it was John Major was the Prime Minister, and John Major was much the same as that. He coaxed things along. He wasn't an out and out. I think he was. He had two concerns. One is he was concerned that the violence would stop. The other thing is I think he was concerned just to be a good Taoiseach, a good leader of Fianna Fáil. And I think he was more of a party man than he was an international negotiator, if I can put it like that.
Did you think in those early stages, though, that he was being a little naive, perhaps, or that he was meddling in the affairs of Northern Ireland?
Everybody was meddling in the affairs of Northern Ireland. I mean, it was how people meddled that I think made an impression. And he was not... he was not offensive in the way in which he dealt with those of us who had much less power but equal interest in a solution to our problems.
But nonetheless, he was convinced at that early stage, or at an early stage, of the bona fides of the Republican movement, that they were sincere about moving towards a peace process at a time when you and others in the Ulster Unionist community, or the wider Unionist community, were very, very sceptical, to put it mildly.
I think that was probably understandable. He'd inherited a fairly close connection between Fianna Fáil and the Provisional IRA. I think he nursed that along. He got as much out of that as he possibly could have. I mean, to this day, I still don't have and wouldn't have the faith in republicanism that he might have. So, yes, you may be right, but I never took him, I never thought of him as a mouthpiece by adoption of the Provisional IRA, and that was reassuring.
He didn't seek to persuade you as to their bona fides then?
Not that sort of intensiveness, with that sort of intensiveness that you might suggest. No, I don't think so.
And were you worried at any stage that he and John Major, once they formed this alliance and there was a good level of trust, there was a great working relationship between them, that they had taken the ball and were running ahead, perhaps, of people in Ulster, as you had put it?
Well, again, I mean, we're going back now 30 years, aren't we? But certainly one got used to people who ran ahead, often people who ran ahead without fully understanding what they were doing. I mean, we subsequently had, I know it's a different era, we subsequently had Margaret Thatcher jumping into bed, metaphorically speaking, with Gareth. And when she chided me over my anger at what she'd done, she said, "But you told me Gareth was a decent man. You told me he was a decent man." I said, "I did. And he is a decent man, but he can't deliver." And so, you know, it's difficult now looking back, particularly for myself, looking back, almost impossible to differentiate between and among the various people with whom we negotiated. All I remember was that Albert Reynolds was courteous. He was as good a listener as he was a talker. I saw more as a local politician in his overall attitude than some others that I'd had to work with.
But without whom the peace process would not have been possible?
I mean, at this stage, I'm not going to even try to decide who was the telling figure in the peace process. It was a laborious, very often boring exercise, and one had to lift one's head and realize that we hadn't had a funeral this week, we hadn't had a murder this week, to realize that we had to keep something going. And yet there was never the possibility that we were going to be impressed, you know, that another murder would get us over the hump. So that one had to have that determination not to be bullied. One took a degree of satisfaction when whatever we were doing and however we were muddling along, we didn't have people being murdered.
Ken McGuinness, thank you for talking to us this afternoon.